when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hej och välkommen till dagens avsnitt av Denk och Berns. Idag så träffar Berns auktionshuset Monaco Legend, ett auktionshus som på allvar bör utmana de stora tre. Berns träffar Andrea Parmigiani som är son till den stora klockhandlaren Davide Parmigiani, och tillsammans driver de alltså Monaco Watch Legend Group. Samtalet handlar om Andreas resa dit de är idag och hur han ser på framtiden. En ung man med en passion för vintageklockor. Berns och Andrea sitter mitt i auktionssalen där det är full aktivitet, så att det kan komma lite störande ljud i bakgrunden. Men jag tror att vi alla överlever. Här kommer de. Vi släpper dem lösa. Berns och Andrea Parmigiani från Monaco Legend Watch Group.
So let me tell you a little bit about what we do. Monaco Legend Group is an auction house where me and my father have taken part in since the start of 2019. Together with our partner Claude Cohen, that is a Monaco-based entrepreneur, we managed to do two auctions a year, and this is our sixth auction so far, and it is our most important auction of the moment, taking place just this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 22-23 of October. We take care, me and my father are vintage watch passionate. My father is considered to be one of the biggest experts in the vintage watch market, and we took part in this auction house to establish a watch auction house that is dedicated and solely focused on the sale of very curated vintage timepieces. Then of course we go also in the modern market. We take care also of dealing precious and collectible modern watches, but our focus and passion goes in the vintage watch market that, as you may know, is quite much broader than what the modern market is. And in this auction, I'm very excited at the moment because we have managed to put together some of the really the finest, most rare and unique pieces from the vintage watch world that you can see in our front cover of the catalog. We have one of the most important watches known in the market, that is the Double Crown first world time Patek Philippe wristwatch, reference 2523, retailed by Tiffany & Co. Is the only of its kind retailed by Tiffany and sold by Tiffany New York. An incredibly rare watch, incredibly collectible. Next to it, to the left, we have another unique piece, this time by Rolex. It is a one-of-a-kind Rolex Daytona reference 6265 in 14 karat yellow gold, retailed Tiffany, designed for the American market, thus being 14 karat yellow gold instead of 18. And the watch is a three line, you can call it prototype, it's just a three line much more rarer dial without yet the Daytona signature on the dial, mm-hmm. and the rare white counter graphics. That is one of the also called prototype graphics that they took from the steel models when they were still designing and thinking about how to do the registers for the gold models. Mm-hmm. So the white graphics are derived from the stainless steel Daytonas. This watch combines three incredible rarities of Daytona, mm-hmm. the three-line dial, the white registers, and the Tiffany signed, mm-hmm. as well as even 14 karat. Mm.
That's so, right. And the condition.
And the condition. The condition of all watches I wanted to present to you, also the third one, yeah. From the cover of the catalog, that is a Cartier. Mm. Very happy to have such an important Cartier in the auction. I am getting to be more of a fan of Cartier as the trend is now following up.
Yes.
And it is a Cartier Pasha minute repeater. Is the most important watch that Gerald Genta, when he was designing watches for Cartier, as well as other brands, he managed to design for Cartier the Pasha, which is a minute repeater perpetual calendar wristwatch, mm. which at the time was very complicated to make and to create, and I think especially for Cartier it was quite a mission to make such a nice and complicated watch. Mm. The watch is incredible, taking lots of Gerald Genta as inspiration, that he's known to be one of the biggest designer and creators, masterminds of the watch world. If you look at the case back of this watch, it's fully skeletonized, but also the movement is all engraved, which is very... The watch takes a lot of harmony and much more special to look at, yeah. much more exciting. This one is the first number one Cartier Pasha realized in platinum, which of platinum, of course, is the rarest of all metals they made. Mm-hmm. And I believe the Cartier Pasha is in fact made in yellow gold, rose gold and white gold, mm. which are all quite common to find. Mm. Platinum is absolutely one of the rarest metals to find, as they produce very few examples. Mm. I think you can count them on two hands.
Wow.
And this is number one of all, still preserved in exceptional conditions. Truly a really historical piece for Cartier, also bringing back the name and emphasizing the importance of Gerald Genta, the creator that really owns a lot of recognition in the market for creating some of the best watches. The best design out there, like the Royal Oak and the Nautilus, mm-hmm. he also created the Cartier Pasha.
It's amazing. I mean, the catalog, these three masterpieces that you talk about, they are amazing, but the catalog is filled with them. You have, you can almost just point and you find a unique piece and in magical condition.
We are always working hard for the next auction. We learned this is our sixth one so far, so after each auction, we try to make a curated selection of all very nice, very well preserved, all original vintage timepieces. Mm. And with time, we thankfully managed to always improve this selection, given by the the increase of people coming towards us to consign watches. Mm. As our name starts to spread, it's easier for us to find better conditioned watches, more collectible items. And at the same time, as our name spread, the people trust us more and believe in us more to then even our friends and dear clients to consign us watches and prefer us rather than other option houses. Mm. So in this catalog, thanks to our growth, we managed to really make our most important selection, which I agree with you, to be honest, I think it's a fantastic selection where there are so many just cool items that represent really the special... magic hidden in the vintage, really. Mm. That is stuff you don't see every day. Mm. Stuff that probably many models are not in today's interest to be redesigned again. So they're objects of the past. They are styles of the past, trends of the past. And I just think it's so cool to relive them, especially if you get the chance to buy them in almost as new conditions or a perfect condition with somebody that can guarantee its full originality. It's such a fun atmosphere, and I'm enjoying it.
Explain a little bit for me and for the listeners. How now you say that this catalog and this auction with watches, it is also based on your previous auction, I mean, all the contacts and all the renommee and the trust that people put into this. How does it work when you start? The watch is here, we find. When did you start to gather them and
how so is the process? Coming from already a profound career, talking about my father in the watch market, starting off, I have to admit, it was not incredibly hard for us, as we reached out to all our friends and clients, giving them our best advice of what we can do, trying to figure out what's the win-win situation for which we can manage to get some pieces for the catalog and at the same time take care of their collection and help them get rid of some of the objects that maybe they would. It's better they realize a profit and improve their collections rather than keep storing more objects. So through this strategy, we managed to easily put together our first catalog. Then, of course, from there to go on and keep gathering 250, 280 watches is difficult. I would say it was probably more hard the second time than the first, just because you need to keep that mechanism going, and it's a lot of work. Still now, it's quite an important work. Yes. Our luck, really, as an auction house, is that having a serious dealer as a partner, as a chairman of the auction house, our advantage is that we benefit from a daily buy, a daily purchase of objects, which we then evaluate ourselves if we want to put in the auction as from as our part. This is one of the big advantages that definitely help us form the catalog with some very fine timepieces that we go out and seek ourselves and then put in auction for ourselves. However, you know very well that the real gasoline, the machine from the auction house, comes from clients coming to reach you, and as the name spreads, objects coming to you towards you without minimizing the work.
Right.
So.
And how is the selection process? I mean, you can't. I guess you cannot take on all watches.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Selection process is mainly when it's talking about vintage. It's first main based on the object itself, the model of the watch, and then secondary comes immediately the condition. If it's a particularly rare piece, unique piece, even if it's really not well preserved conditions, we might still consider it. However, if it's a common timepiece of a certain model, if it's not in very well preserved conditions, if it's not something that we advise to our friends and clients to put in their collection, we don't put it in auction. No. We focus on the best of the condition that we can find. And really having that, having made that sensibility in the market, my father is transmitting me, to really have the sensibility to understand the beautiful object. A beautiful object is not necessarily in new condition.
No.
It can have a patina, it can have a vintage patina, it can have oxidation on the case, but it can still be very beautiful. So. Really just with an eye to the art of the piece.
I agree 100%.
Yes.
I mean, my personal taste in watches is that when you can see that it has lived a life and have a history to tell, this gives me something extra.
Exactly.
And if you go to the shop and buy a new watch, this not do nothing for me. So
Working in the auction house, I see that different cultures differ a lot on this opinion. People, what we might consider vintage patina and more enthusiasm of a vintage watch that is not very well preserved. Others might really see it the opposite view as a ruined watch or deteriorated, let's say, if the dial went from being an argentine silver dial to an orange one. It could be not the great condition for them, but for us it would be a lot more special.
Exactly.
And this is truly the magic of the vintage. I think you have to have this kind of concept and principle of thinking to really admire and appreciate the vintage at its best, because it's exactly the age and time that makes a vintage object unique. If it's kept in new condition, there really might probably be another one as well in the world kept in new condition. But if yours is now a tropical dial and it has these weird looks and colors to it, then it might as well be unique.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a lot more special.
Yeah. This is nice for me. Who really admire the old watches and the history. How? When did you start? I mean, you told us that we have about 2 auctions a year, and to fill a catalog like this, do you manage to do that within half a year, or is this an ongoing process for a longer time?
Well, that is a good question, because it's a very important thing for an auction house to get prepared in advance. This is how you see other big auction houses, as like Sotheby's or Christie's. They manage to do I don't know exactly how many auctions, or what watch auctions a year, just watch auctions, but I believe it's probably about 15 to 20, if not something more as well, with all the onlines and stuff.
Yes.
So really big numbers. We are at 2 per year at the moment, so we have to work on that, and definitely the key of working on that is preparing in advance, so that the mechanisms of getting the catalog done runs quickly, the more you can move on and make more auctions. This, of course, is an important part we are already working on. At the moment, we dedicate, we are taking our time, because we want to grow effectively. We are not pushing the growth aggressively at the moment. We're walking out our way slowly, and at the moment, making these 2 auctions a year, it took us always 6 months to prepare each catalog, which we are in perfect timing to make 2 auctions a year. It has been difficult for us at the moment to really push to making to the goal of making three auctions a year. That's why we kept these 3 years always 2 auctions.
And to keep the quality as high as it is.
Also this, of course, you have many factors then involved as well, as you mentioned. But really, you know, we are growing as an auction house, but at the moment we are a relatively small team compared to other auction houses. So we have to make sure that whatever growth important growth step we want to do, that we will manage to then be able to stand then at that level comfortably. And to tell you this, to finish your question, in now after 3 years, we are now setting the goal of making a third auction in 2023.
Wow.
So in 2023, to make 3 auctions, as we just opened our office in Milano. It will be interesting, and we would like to manage to do our 2 auctions a year in Monaco, like usual, and make 1 extra in Milano, so that we would start to be a number 3 a year.
Do you see a difference in the Milano market from the Monaco? I mean, it's not far away, but...
Yeah, absolutely. I think the difference is really the atmosphere, the environment attracts different clients, different people. Some may be more attracted to a watch auction in Monaco, and some may not be attracted to a watch auction in Milano, and the same is vice versa. So definitely, I think it's very interesting for us to go and experiment the territory of Milano and how Milano responds to us. I'm very curious to see that. At the same time, if I have to tell you how would my feeling be in a Milano-based auction, is that I would feel very confident, because Italy has always been a researcher of the nice vintage. Italians have always had the culture for the vintage. And so I think an auction in Milano would help us to spread the Monaco legend auction all over Italy. So we would have more Italian clients coming over to see us, to get to know us. And so I think we will get many, many clients that will absolutely appreciate the catalogue, I think. So I'm very much looking forward to that. In Monaco, of course, we gather all our friends and customers to come and stay here for the 3-4 days that we have the exposition and the auction, so that we make sure that all the Italian culture comes over here
very
and
good,
supports
yes,
us.
Yes. Me, myself, actually traveled from Italy this morning. Yeah, so it's close. It's just a few minutes away.
So. It's a 2-hour 30 drive from Milano,
exactly.
So it's fine.
And okay, so now we go from 2 auctions a year to 3 auctions.
Yeah.
So if you look at your ambition and your planning for the future with the Monaco Legend, what do you see in 5 years and 10 years? What is your ambition?
Well, my... Oh, sorry that there's tests for the auction already starting. My ambition for Monaco Legend is... really to keep growing the auction house. My greatest ambition is to get as much knowledge from my father to become a future watch expert to his level, which is for me very important as it is a unique skill that he developed that I really want him to pass me on. And by achieving this goal, I then can see myself taking care of the auction house and keep pushing the auction house, keep growing it, keep feeding it so that it can really grow. And I would love, a dream would be to open more departments for the auction house, to find some future partners, strategic partners that can help us develop a wine department, an art department, a car department. I would love that because the auction house business is very thrilling to work in. I am loving it so far. It's very nice to help people sell their objects and help people collect and have fun in buying very curious, very cool objects. So I am loving this job 100% at the moment, and I have lots of dreams for the future. This is just a taste of many things. Yeah, and then obviously to expand our objective at the moment is, as we just opened an office in Milano, because we have found strategic partners in America, to hopefully get soon an office also in New York.
So then you start to find all big cities.
We would really be heading worldwide, which is where an auction house needs to be in order to get the much reach as possible. And then it's a bit easier to sell 270 watches.
Of course, of course. Shall we? You mentioned your father.
Yes.
For the listeners, tell us a little bit about your father and his background, because he's a legend in himself.
So. Absolutely, he is the legend for me. Absolutely, and my father starts off his career really on the basis of being a watch dealer in Italy in the end of the 80s, and. After deciding not to follow my grandfather in his job, and he had an incredible career, which I think there could soon be a movie about the watch dealing in Italy, in the 80s and 90s. It's incredible the amount of fantastic objects that were flying around, and the incredible underappreciation that these objects had. Nobody was knowledgeable about them, and so they were really like the first on the territory. For this is sort of where the market really took a step, took a different path, where it found watch dealers that became knowledgeable about the watches, started understanding them, started getting a good sense of how beautiful an object is, just seeing it in his hand and touching it. Yeah. And they really changed the market, realizing which were going to be the watches that were going to get become trend in the future, which were going to be the most iconic Rolexes, the most iconic Patek Philippe's. They saw this coming before the market was even there, before the market was even something. Together with the other watch dealers, he really is the, for me, the main contribution to the development of the vintage watch market and the vintage watch knowledge that is spread around.
I really agree. I have to say, really, it's a legend, actually.
Just to finish, then he always worked in having his shop. His base was Milano for about 20 years, if not a bit more than 20 years, and then he moved to Lugano to give the possibility to me that I was growing up to live in a more beautiful place than what we that Milano, Switzerland. Switzerland was a more calm place and also serious place for him to keep working in absolute security. And then my father always pushed me a lot to get knowledgeable about watches since I was a kid. Since the first years as a kid, he always tried to put my path into following his, realizing just now I understand that it was because he realized that what he had achieved as a skill, as a sensitivity, as an eye, was really something unique that had to be passed on to his next generation. Because, I mean, I would have had to get to know watches sooner or later.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's also a little bit tough sometimes if you have an interest. If you push it too hard to your children, maybe they turn away from it.
This is exactly what I did, in fact.
Oh, you did? Oh,
I did. No, yeah, I did, absolutely. Because I did have that small interest, but his pressure was so much that always made me turn my back towards watches. And in fact, the funny story is I have turned my back completely until I was about 16. Where in 16, it was a time where they would make me wear a watch. My parents, they would allow me to wear a watch or wear a watch to school and have a watch for myself. And so it was the time where I was starting to understand watches to a bit of a different level, because wearing it gets you to a more relationship, bigger, a more serious relationship with the watch. And when I was 18, after finishing high school, my father gave me what I've always asked him for, absolutely zero pressure, and letting me do whatever it is that I want to do.
Yeah.
So I went off my own way, and I did some job experiences here and there before I quickly realized that that I really wanted to go and work with him. Having built such esteem for him after 20 years, when I was just 19, 20, I asked him if I could join him in his work and learn his work. It was something very a big very change of life for me, because I really tried to push watches away as he tried to push me into them, and then when the fight is over, you know, we get together, we get along. So it's been like that. It was fantastic. However, I started working in the shop in Lugano, where we used to live. And the shop in Lugano was actually an environment that for me at the start was I have to tell you, quite boring, because as you can imagine, there is not much going on in a daily base shop owner. And all I had to do really was...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Listen to all his deals with the clients, listen to him talking with the dealers, and basically listening to him the whole day, and understanding his work, understanding more about the watches, and his description, how he would talk about watches. And it was a bit boring to stay in the shop, but what happened is that, fortunately, in that 1 year of silent Lugano shop living, I got really passionate really quickly, having time to just sit around all day to admire different watches, all the different models, the styles, the brands. And it really hit me hard, and really hit me very quickly and effectively. So since there, my father saw that I had the real interest of being in the world of watches and following him for his journey. And that's where we changed our lives and took the opportunity that we found to join this auction house and come here and change my father's job, that has always been a watch dealer, to keep doing his job as a watch dealer and curating the very important collection that he has created in the world through his very dear friends and clients. And at the same time, taking part is really in really leaving the shop job and taking part in what he sees was really the future of this market, the auction house business.
So it must also be some fun for him to change.
Very fun, yes. Very fun, absolutely. This is, for me also, looking at him, I have a lot of admiration because I think it was his next step to really the story of his career. Mm. It was really fantastic that he made this, that everything fell into place to be here where we are now, because really definitely it made him, this journey in Monaco Legend made him a lot more of an important figure on the watch market than what he was already at before.
Yeah, I can see that. To use all his knowledge and skill and history and now bring it to the next level with the auction house. It's a natural step when you see it from outside.
Yeah. Also because it's two different jobs. I mean, being a watch dealer is... You can be a watch dealer if you have the good basis of being a merchant and dealing. Mm. And here is really a lot of entrepreneurial thinking, entrepreneurial skills, and it's running a big company now. So he was able to do it no problem, and this shows really what he's capable of. Mm.
Oh, impressive. He came from the Monaco region, from the Milan region, and moved to Lugano in Switzerland.
Exactly.
And you were brought up in Switzerland.
Yeah.
And lived there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I lived in Switzerland from when I was 12 to 19, 20 years old is when we moved here to Monaco.
So that means also that you. You speak like a lot of different languages, I guess. I mean, English, obviously, we can hear. And
Because I moved into the Italian part of Switzerland, in Switzerland, I really learned more of my English, improved my English, but I stayed with Italian, that was in Milano. Mm. Now in Monaco here, I am learning my third language, which is French.
Yeah. Is it hard? I don't speak French, so no.
I'd say it's not hard, but it requires serious effort, especially to speak it and, of course, to write it. Like any other language, I would guess, it's not really hard. It's just that, like any other language, it requires a serious effort and determination to trying to speak, trying to write, trying to understand, listening to people speak it to you. Mm. Lots of work at the end, yes.
And more, even
I like it though.
You like languages.
I like languages. I would love to learn more. I feel at this time it's a bit difficult for me to dedicate to other languages, and I am working on my French. Mm. I am lucky to have 8 colleagues that speak to me only in French.
That's
so
good. Yeah.
It's worth it. It's gonna come there sooner or later.
Forced into it. Yeah. And. We talked just before we started the recording. We talked about different taste in watches or the collection and what's interesting. What is your soft spot in watch collecting? What is your, if you have your dream collection?
At the moment, my soft spot is Daytonas. Mm. I'll tell you very specifically because that is my true soft spot. So it's specific at the moment. It's Daytonas with precious gems.
Ah.
Daytona is my favorite watch, whether it is a 60s, 70s model, or 80s, 90s Zenith model, or an automatic model, Rolex modern. Mm. Any kind really touches me, but when it's with precious stones, they are really my favorite watches of the moment. Mm. I feel that this is something that is going to change a lot because I am a watch addict, very serious, and I feel it now. So I like all watches. Mm. I would say I like really many brands. And so I know that this is something that I like at the moment, but that I will want to change soon in the future to keep having fun with the watches and keep expressing myself differently.
Mm. Do you think it's a risk when you have watches as a profession that it sort of kills the enthusiast and not kills, but it makes fun out of it, takes the fun out of it?
I see what you say, absolutely, because I do get sort of this struggle now getting in the watch world. What do I want to do? I want to just collect and not sell.
Mm-hmm.
But my father teaches me that if I want to buy nicer watches or keep buying watches, if I want to have more, I have to sell.
Mm.
So it's something that took me a while to get along with this concept, and I understand that this is actually how you keep the best of the fun going, being able to buying, enjoying, and then selling off well an object. Both really the things when you get to it and you get away from the fussy thinking of I want to have everything now, I want to buy, not sell.
Mm.
When you get away from that, you understand that it's such a much more enjoyable way to appreciate the watch when you buy it, and you know you will enjoy it for a short amount of time because you will already set a price on it and sell it soon and try to sell it soon and put a lot of effort, so soon it will go. That's how you really get the best enjoyment out of the watch, because if you know that you bought it and you're going to have it forever, you're just going to drop it in your safe and maybe pick it up 1 year after. Whereas if you really know that you can sell it in 1 week, then you'll wear it for a week and then sell it and you'll buy something else, and you keep going. And that for me is now, because I understood this, it's becoming the funniest part of the game.
A friend of mine once told me that for him it is to experience the watch. It doesn't mean you have to own it for the rest of your life. It's to have had the chance to
absolutely
to have it perhaps for a short time and own it, and then it pass on to someone else.
Absolutely, so this is the beauty, the beauty, the art behind the collecting. Is really owning, taking care of, to then pass on.
Mm, exactly.
This is really once you manage to let go of the greediness you can have from these objects, this is you will be able to enjoy them more, understand them more.
Mm.
Absolutely. When you know you have an object just for a certain amount of time, and once you know you understand it, it's beautiful to give it to someone else that then he can understand it. I found a lot of enjoyment and happiness from selling watches, especially to friends of mine, that they and realizing how they understand it after wearing it and owning it, whereas I was explaining it to them in the first place and they were not on my same page, and now they are. So really brings a lot of satisfaction.
Actually, that was my next question. If it's you find satisfaction in selling a watch to a person that appreciates it, and I can really, really see that.
Yeah, this is for me a key thing. Yeah, I would always look out for myself. I want to find people that have a real passion, people that have the most passion for watches, because they are the ones that give me back the most satisfaction.
Mm.
The ones where you can show them your watch and they'll really start screaming at you.
Mm.
They were naturally, so you know, definitely the passion is what keeps this market, this what keeps collecting watches really breathing strongly.
I have a question that I try to ask people I meet. It is, how do you build a collection? What is your best advice for a new or perhaps semi-experienced watch enthusiast? How do you build your collection? What is, in your opinion?
So in my opinion, I'm going to tell you my opinion that is already derived from my father's opinion, because they asked him many times this question in interviews and I listened to his answer.
Okay.
But so thanks to him, I learned how to respond to this question. That is, so first of all, really, it's important... If buying watches, it's outside really of your circle of competence, and you want to start collecting or investing, it's important to find the sources which you know you can trust, that you know are quality and are giving you an object exactly for the way they say that it is. And once you have the right sources, then it's really up up to following your instincts, your mind, what do you like, what attracts you, what intrigues you. Mm. It's really just following your senses. And following your senses, when you're in the right hands, it never is really going wrong. Even buying a watch that is not the great investment, maybe after 5 years you have made still no money on it, if not maybe lost 5,000, it's still okay if you really like it. I mean, at the end of the day, that's not the watch that is not the best of the collection. You have many better watches in the collection. If you have that watch and you still cherish it, understand it and like it, and then you want to own it, it's absolutely perfect to keep it in your collection. And collection is totally up to you. This is very important, I think, today when people approach watches and knowing that their friends collect or that their friends invest, they really want to do what the others are doing and they want to follow the trends in order to get the best result out of it, because they saw the results of the past trends of the results that of the money you made on this watch and that, and so they want to always follow what the others are doing to be sure they're not doing that, they're making only right moves. But the truth is, true collecting and enjoyment from building a collection will come if you know you're making your own mistakes, which are okay. You know you're not buying the best investment watch, but if you like it and it costs a good price and it's a trusted source, buy it and you'll be happy and it will be a great piece for yourself, for your collection. I this is something I truly understand, because having quite some knowledge of the watch market, it's difficult for me to look around and say, I'm going to do what he does. I already have a bit of an ego to think that I know I need to follow myself, because I know a lot and I know maybe more than he does. So thankful now in collecting, I am buying small watches, 5,000, 10,000 gems, vintage gems that for me are giving me so much satisfaction, because when I have them in my collection, I just love them. And even though they don't cost much, and I know I'm not going to make a huge profit from it, but I still know I bought something that is a great vintage piece, and that's what I wanted
and
to buy.
And brings happiness for you.
Yes, it brings happiness also to my collection, when especially a vintage enthusiast looks at it, he understands that I truly collect for the passion of it. I think that's a cool thing. I think at the end of the day, the collection you build must be a status of your intention as a person, of what you wanted to do in the watch world. If you can see when you look at collections, if people collected really for the passion or for the investment, you can really see that.
Do you think, I mean, now it's a little bit strange to ask that question, because we're an auction house that has as a business model that watches are sold and bought and so on. But is the market and the price, especially when the price goes up very, very fast, is it killing the watch enthusiast and the collector, or is it helping? Do you understand my question?
I think it's definitely confusing quite some people now, because the watch world has spread its reach to many new customers, many new part of the community, many new members of the community joined the watch world, and now they're interested in buying and knowing which objects to buy, which is the best brand. When prices go up, like you said, this is scenario you said, I think the ones that don't know well their topic and where they are really confused and can get different feelings from being skeptical and not probably would bring them to not move and not make any move at the moment. But whereas instead, if you're talking about the community that's already there of the watch passionates and people that understand and always cherish watches already since quite some years, they know that they know watches, and price fluctuation doesn't really scare them, because they know which watches will still walk their way. You know,
exactly, and look at it long term.
I mean, to analyze this question a bit further, and give also people that are listening a bit of an insight of what I think of the market.
Yes.
It's always been that the modern hasn't really always been a big space for investment. And the vintage was really the key of a constant appreciation of a watch, instead of having a sudden depreciation coming through trends. Now the modern market has changed these past 5 years as the brands started making different strategies, different marketing and promoting strategies of not wanting to give the watches to anybody. The demand has surged immensely, and so it's completely changed a bit. It's a bit flipped around now. I feel, of course, that a new guy coming in the watch market will immediately have the feeling that the investment is all in the modern. Because if you can't get the piece and you manage to get it, you will sell it for 5 times the price. So that's the investment. And that surely can be an investment, and many people have done it, and many people can still do it. But first of all, the issue there is that I think if you just happen to fall in that path and just experience the investing and making money in the modern world, it will take you a very long time before you develop a real passion for watches and before you can manage to go in deeply into the vintage watch world and discover that world. If you will get distracted with the hype of the modern watch world, and like this, you will lose the trains of vintage Daytonas that you could buy today at 80,000 in steel, fantastic watches in like new condition. You could buy it today at 80,000, and people that are keeping their attention in the modern, in 5 years they will realize the vintage and Daytonas in steel are already at 200,000. So for me, the opportunity is always in the vintage. That's where you can always sleep deep well at night without thinking about depreciations and big market fluctuations. Of course, then there are many factors involved, whereas in fact that's why before you mentioned we're starting to collect, it's important in the vintage, especially why it's not just because the investment that people go to the modern. Most reason is because people who experience buying vintage source might get some bad experiences. Because as I mentioned before, it's very important that you find a trusted source. When you ask me about collecting, the number one thing I said, it's find your trusted sources. Like that, you will have a good experience. And buying vintage is not easy. Knowing vintage is very hard. Information is not really written in so much in the books. It's really just spread around, and you need to know which ones are the good voices around there. And so for me, vintage is absolutely 100 times more interesting. There is the value of the perception of the value, because the vintage is all based on perception, how rare it is and how valuable it is, and that's the coolest part of the game. But there's many factors involved. Definitely the vintage for me is the watch market. The modern is of course very cool, very interesting, very fun to own, very fun to wear. But I really want to make sure that in the future I keep following my father's pathway of dedicating to knowing the vintage, as it will always, I'm sure, it will be always a rarer objects in the future. Rarer and more appreciated, more understood objects. As you know, the key thing also is that these are still brands that are all still very active today.
Exactly.
They're not brands that don't exist anymore. Exactly. And this is their biggest strength point and the biggest factor behind my thinking that they will always just keep appreciating. Because as the brands will keep on going and keep doing what they've always done and the best way they can, you can be sure that their history will always be recognized and always be more appreciated by more people.
I 100% agree, yeah. My take on the whole situation, we had the modern watches rise very, very fast in price. It was, as you said, they come in a lot of new persons that was new to watch world that wanted to enter it. And it's so much easier mistakes with the modern watches.
You're right. That's the thing. It's very easy,
But when you get into the watch market, hobby, and you start to look at it, the vintage part is where all the thrill is. When you get to dig deep into the history and find and learn and so on, and I mean, if you are in a situation as you are with your father as a super source of knowledge, or if you are just a new person in this, that try to find and ask questions to people around you to make sure you don't make the mistakes, because it's very easy to make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. So I think that advice is really, really good. Look for a trusted source.
Yeah, yeah. That is the best advice, honestly, I can give. In when, if you're telling me, how can I start out with buying watches? My first thing is you must find your trusted source. Is the person that you know you can trust. That's the one that will most likely upset you, that never upset you. Let's say, and.
And this is this. I'm so grateful for your time.
Yeah.
And if we just wrap everything up, tell us, when is the auction and where, and a little bit...
I tell you a bit of the dynamics of the auction. So today is our first day of exhibition. We're in the Hotel Le Méridien of Monaco. That is a hotel right on the sea. And its exposition will go today until 8 o'clock in the evening. Tomorrow will be another day of full exposition from 9 a.m. to 8 o'clock in the evening. And Saturday will be the first day of the auction. However, in the morning we will have the exposition open again, and then we will have a lunch, and the auction will start at 2 p.m. That's the first session of the auction. In the first session we will have the sale of the most important lot from the catalog, which is a Patek Philippe Tiffin Double Crown 2523 World Time. That will be the last lot of the session one of the auction. So probably going around the 7:30 p.m. of Saturday time. Sunday will be a full auction day with our session two and session three of the auction. Session two will be in the morning from 10 o'clock to 1:30 approximately. And then from 2:30 on the evening, it will be the final session of the auction. And then on Monday, we're still open here for whoever wants to pay directly and bring back directly with them their pieces, their timepieces. We can do that with some occasional timepieces depending on the price. And we're still open on Monday here, and Tuesday we are back in our office.
And for the listeners that are mostly located in the northern part of Europe, if they can't come here how can you follow?
We reach overseas customer or customers that cannot reach us through online platforms. We have our online bidding platform through our website that is still backed up by Nextlot platform, but there will be all links that will redirect you through our auction website. We have several other bidding platforms, such as our Monaco Legend Group app. We developed an app where also you can bid on Invaluable. You can bid, and also you can follow us through Instagram Live. Our auction will be live on our Instagram account the whole time. You will not be able to bid through Instagram. However, the displays, we try to make the graphics as understandable and appealing as possible, so you will be seeing all the bids that were going on through the Instagram. You will be following up very well through the live of the Instagram. So please do connect. It will be very easy. Follow us on Instagram. Our account is Monaco Legend Group. And if you want to follow my account as well, it is 1518. And my name is Andrea Parmigiani, also on the account. If you ask about the name of my account, it's 1518, because it's the most important Patek Philippe wristwatch considered in the market to be ever made by the brand. And my father was called initially in his Instagram Dax, which is a short name, 2499 was his nickname of Instagram. And when I started off, I thought of since 2499 is the second most important, and I thought of taking the first have a good prospect for the future.
Setting the bar. This is nice. This is really good. Thank you,
Freddy. It was really great talking to you. I really enjoyed
Me too. Very much.
Hope to see you soon again.
Yes, absolutely.
Tack så mycket, Berns och Andrea. Ett intressant och spännande samtal. Hoppas att ni som har lyssnat har uppskattat det lika mycket som vi. Och det kommer här tillbaka om en vecka ungefär med ett nytt avsnitt. Tack för att ni har lyssnat.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.